It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Raise your hand if you, like me, were under the mistaken assumption that only humans can get tuberculosis. It turns out that not only can tuberculosis occur in a variety of animals, but humans and elephants are susceptible to the same strain. Tuberculosis, or TB, typically causes bleeding in the lungs, but can also attack the spine, bones, and brain, and is spread through coughing, sneezing, and speaking, and is transferred when inhaled. What the folks at the zoo are looking into could dramatically impact the worldwide elephant population. I'm joined now by phone by Willie Tyson. He's the elephant manager at the Pittsburgh Zoo and PPG Aquarium. Willie Tyson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Good to have you with us. And you may have a question or comment, and you can share it with us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number to join our conversation with Willie Tyson of the Pittsburgh Zoo, 412-246-2002. Willie, when it comes to the spread of tuberculosis among elephants, particularly as it is transferred from humans to elephants, how serious is this problem?
Well, it can be very serious. I mean, if you have a person that has the TB and they're around the elephants, it can, you know, be easily transmitted to that animal and vice versa.
And apparently TB in elephants is nothing new.
No. We've been working with elephants with TB and doing testing for quite a number of years. We do a yearly test on ours just to make sure that, you know, they've got a clean bill of health.
Have you ever had a test come up positive?
No. No, we sure haven't. Everything's been, you know, really, really good for us. Our elephants have always been, you know, clean and healthy.
So explain how tuberculosis is spread from humans to elephants. This is a particular problem in Africa. And explain how the elephants are exposed to humans and what is going on there.
Well, the companies that I'm working with, or the Pittsburgh Zoo's working with, are elephant ride safaris. So they will have clients come in. They will do a short hour and a half, walk through Africa, if you will, on the back of the elephants. They have a mahout that guides the elephant and works with them and answers questions for the clients. And then afterwards, they will do a meet and greet where the elephants can, you know, come up to a barrier, and then the clients will be on the other side, and they are, you know, offered to feed the elephants, you know, to take pictures with the elephants. So there's a real close physical contact between, you know, those elephants and the clients.
And is that something that you're cool with in terms of just the philosophy of, you know, bringing people in to interact with elephants in this way? It seems like it might be harmless, aside from what we're talking about here and the risks that elephants run when they're exposed to human beings. But there are precautions that can be taken. Just as far as the practice of this, what do you think about it?
No, I think it's an excellent practice. It gives the people, you know, kind of a really up-close and personal, you know, interaction with the elephants, and it's all done, like I said, they have a handler with each elephant, there is a barrier between them, so the elephants are, the public are protected, so they can, you know, safely interact, and the elephants have been so accustomed and routine to this that it's just, you know, second nature to them. And when they know they're getting fed, they seem to be, you know, much more cooperative.
Sure.
They know there's a lot of food there, and it's all positive for the animals, so I think it's a very, you know, unique experience.
And isn't part of this too that they get up on the elephant's back, they ride the elephants with, they go on tours, and check out the other wildlife in a particular area, and they're following a guide, and they're all riding on elephants.
Yeah, correct. They will be on the elephant's back. The handler will ride with them on the elephant's back. They have people on the ground to protect them if they are to come in contact with wild elephants. You know, they want to make sure that everybody's safe and that their elephants are safe and there's not going to be any, you know, unnecessary interaction. But it's just a little, at the most, I think they do an hour and a half run where they have kind of a preset area where they just take them out. And I've been on it. We've seen cape buffalo, giraffes, you know, impala, other animals, and it's just kind of a, it gets you out there into Africa. And then afterwards, the elephants are just, you know, free roaming. They bring them back to the corrals, they take the saddles off, and then the elephants and probably half a dozen of the handlers go out with them, and they just let them free range, eating and playing and doing what elephants do for the rest of the day. And then they have a corral at night that they bring them in, so they're safe from poachers. They've got a, you know, 24-hour watch on them. So some of these elephants have some, you know, pretty nice ivory, and they would be, you know, very susceptible to poachers. So they bring them back to a corral where they can, you know, keep an eye on them, keep them safe, and then the next morning they just start the process over.
So you've traveled to Zimbabwe on a couple of occasions to take part in an international program in which you train handlers to perform testing. How was that done exactly? And before you explain how this works, what did you find when you got there in terms of what kind of testing was being done, if it was being done at all?
Well, they haven't done any TB testing. They'll do routine blood work on the elephants, usually every 6 months, I believe. They'll take blood. They look at blood chemistry. It's just like we do here. But this trunk wash is essentially what it's called, is a much more reliable test when you're looking at, you know, looking for the TB virus. So essentially it was just going over, working with the mahouts. We sent several videos from us with our elephants showing them the process and then breaking it down into very easy steps. First, you just get the elephant to voluntarily give you their trunk, let you hold it. They're very comfortable with that. And then you will induce about 60 milliliters of saline solution into the trunk, and then you will ask them to raise their trunk so it kind of flushes the inside of the nostril areas, and then they give you their trunk back, and they will blow the contents of their trunk into a bag. And then they will take that solution, and they will culture that, and then in 6 to 8 weeks, they'll have a pretty good read on, you know, anything that elephant may carry.
Now, we may be making this sound a little simpler than it is. First of all, you know, handling an elephant's trunk, from what I understand, this is something that you really have to get the elephant to trust you.
Yeah, it's you know, all about confidence and trust with the elephants. You know, their trunk is their most valuable, you know, asset.
Right.
If they don't have the trunk, then they're, you know, pretty much, you know, useless. So it takes a little time to get them to freely give you their trunk where you can hold it, manipulate it, and build that trust where they know nothing's going to happen.
How do you do that? Like, for example, if you took me to Africa and I've never been around elephants or worked as closely with them, obviously, as you have, my job is I've got to get that elephant to trust me. I've got to be able to handle that trunk, and that elephant doesn't know me and doesn't trust me, so how do I gain the trust?
The easiest way, we do everything very positive, so what I would start with the process is just take a couple carrots, maybe an apple in your hand, pieces of it, get the elephant to take that out of your hand. So they kind of start associating, you know, their trunk in your hand. And then I would start getting them to try to just let me touch their trunk and then give them, you know, the piece of carrot or the apple, and then build on that, and then get them just build on the amount of time that they will let me hold their trunk. And it, like I said, because it's so positive, it's actually a very quick process.
Okay, but then the saline solution, I'm guessing that's not something that they're excited about necessarily.
Yeah, that's probably the most difficult part, because usually when you start the process, the first inclination for the elephant is to just blow it back out. So you have to be careful that you're not facing the trunk and wearing most of that solution. So there's a number of ways we kind of, I don't want to say trick them, but you can use, we've used, like, sweet water, like Kool-Aid, something that they really like. They can smell it. They want to take it in. So then the key is to getting them to hold that for just a second and then getting them to be able to flush their trunk out. So in Africa, they don't have a lot of access to that, but they use molasses water. So they will mix a kind of a sweet solution of molasses water, and the elephants readily will, you know, suck it in. The only problem with that is they want to drink it after they get it. They don't want to give it back. They want to, you know, take it.
But I guess it's what it's done is prevent the elephants from freaking out, because the handlers there were not necessarily administering this whole saline test particularly well in the initial stages, because they were, I guess they were putting too much in there at one time.
Well, they were trying to do it all at once. I tried to break it down into just stages where, okay, the first stage, let's just get them comfortable holding their trunk. Okay, now we can start kind of working on introducing some liquid, whether it's, you know, molasses water or Kool-Aid, and getting them to understand that, okay, this is a good thing, and then working on getting them to blow it into a plastic bag so we can collect the whole sample. You know, they wanted to do it right away, grab the trunk, throw the water in, put it in a plastic bag. And the elephants, they do most of their work. Like I said, they do an exceptional job with the elephants on the ride, but most of their routines are done from the elephant's back, and the elephants are super responsive for that. They are not used to doing groundwork, which is basically what we do with our elephants. It's all on the ground. We don't get on their back. So, you know, it's just a different, for the elephants, it's a different placement of the handler that they're not used to. So we have to work that into the routine, and then it's just getting the handlers to know that it's okay to get around your elephants and work with them. And they build that, they already have that trust with them. It's just another aspect of it that we had to kind of work on.
So then you have the sample, and you then submit it for a test. And how long does it take for that test to be conducted and the results to come back?
The culture takes about 6 to 8 weeks for it to actually culture out.
It
will, depending on, you know, the locations, like here at the zoo, it will culture other strains of TB, like, you know, avian, because we have a lot of birds in our building. But it's not detrimental to elephants. It's just this human strain that's what we're mainly looking for.
How is it that humans and elephants are susceptible to the same strain?
I think it's just the contact. You know, there's a lot of, you know, free contact with the animals, and it's just over time, you know, you're around and they can
They can catch it. We're talking with Willie Tyson. He's the elephant manager at the Pittsburgh Zoo and the PPG Aquarium, and we're talking about how to control tuberculosis in elephants, which is a big problem, particularly in Africa. And Mr. Tyson has traveled to Africa to help trainers learn how to administer the test for tuberculosis in elephants. If the test comes up positive, Mr. Tyson, what happens next?
It can be treated. I mean, as long as it's, you know, the elephant is cooperative. Again, it would be another training process to train them to. You can take a, like, oral solution. It's pretty foul, but, you know, you can get the elephants to take that. So I know elephants that they've had in the States, they put them on a, you know, 3 or 6 month, you know, program of treatment, and, you know, they come up clean. They don't get any more, you know, positive cultures. So it can be treated, and it's not cheap. It's going to be expensive, but, you know, they just, since they are big into the, you know, client business with the public, they just want to make sure that these animals, you know, are as healthy as they can be.
If you have a comment or question, you can join our conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. If you have a comment or question for our guest, Willie Tyson, he works right here in Pittsburgh with elephants at the Pittsburgh Zoo. And we're talking about controlling tuberculosis in the elephant population and preventing it from being transferred from humans to elephants. Both humans and elephants are susceptible to the same strain of TB. And I'm curious, you've traveled to Africa, you're going back to Africa. How badly controlled is TB in developing nations?
They're actually starting to do it, because all the handlers had to go through testing, and then the organization, the Victoria Falls Wildlife Trust, you know, they foot the bill for treatment. If anybody tested positive, you know, they tested all the handlers first. And that was kind of an obstacle in the beginning, because a lot of the handlers thought that if they tested positive, they would lose their jobs. So they were kind of very apprehensive about doing that. But until we kind of convinced them that, you know, look, we'll treat you, you know, we'll take care of this. And then when they realized that, you know, this particular strain, if they have it, it can be transferred to the elephant. And then they were all on board. They were just like, you know, what? Okay, you know, we've got to take care of the elephants. But in the population, you know, it is a problem, and they are, you know, doing what they can to treat it.
And there's a little incentive program, too, I think, that you might have had a role in providing for these trainers. If they once they get the elephant, once they get a sample, get the elephant to complete the test, they get things like, what, cases of beer?
The test, we have to do it 3 times in a 5-day period. So what I had kind of told them to give them incentive was just, you know, hey, you know, the first team, because I was working with 6 different camps, and I told them, you know, all of us, like, okay, the first one, I said, you know, the beer's on me, because, you know, that's what we do, you know, in my place. We accomplish a big, you know, operation that, you know, hey, there's a celebration afterwards. And, I mean, they kind of, I think, took it, oh, yeah, whatever. But then, you know, when the first team did complete it, and I showed up with, you know, a cooler full of beer and, you know, soda, and we kind of celebrated for about 30 minutes, they were just, you know, totally taken back by it and surprised and all excited about it. I mean, they were really, really pumped. And, you know, they're just like, you know, okay, we want to do, you know, we want to do this more. We want to keep doing this. You know, they're not going to just do this and then stop. You know, they've told me that, oh, no, we're going to make this part of their daily routine, which makes it so much easier because the test has to be done every year. So it'll just make it so much easier the next time they have to do the test. Everybody on the whole team, I mean, they just jumped on the bandwagon. It's like, yeah, let's do this. You know, this is great because, you know, they don't really get a lot of, you know, really, really super positive, you know, rewards when they do their job, you know, day after day.
And what handling techniques did you learn from the Africans?
It's just, I'm hoping to go back and do kind of like a workshop where we can do a little bit more extensive exchange of information. I've proposed that to a lot of the owners over there, that we come over and we spend like all day with the team. So I get to see what they do with the elephants. I can show them some stuff. And like I said, they're working these elephants every day, and they're working some adult bulls that are 40-plus years old. And our bull, not even 40, he does what we call protected contact. We don't go in with him. I don't share the same space with him. So that was one of the most, you know, really awe-inspiring moments when we showed up at the camp, and I'm thinking, oh, they're all females, they're great. Like, no, they've got 4 or 5 bulls in their herds, and they're monster bulls, and, you know, they work just as nice as our cows do. So
did you end up
trying to get little pointers, like, you know, how do you start your elephants out? You know, how do you take this wild elephant? Because most of them came either their mothers were poached and they wandered into camp, or they found the elephants and, you know, they've got them. They're all from Africa. And so you've had this wild elephant. Okay, what do you do to start it? I know how I start my elephants, but they're in a pretty, you know, tight, captive situation. I said, these elephants are coming right out of the bush. Okay, what do you do? So, you know, we've had several conversations about how they start their elephants, and I'm hoping to go back where we can do just a really good, you know, comprehensive, you know, workshop with all of them. And we're trying to bring the standards up for each of the camps, because there's a different level of experience in each of the camps that I've seen. So I want to try to get them all up on the same level, and they're all into that too. They just don't want to have, oh, this camp, you know, they don't do this, they don't do that. You know, we'd like to set up a program kind of like we do in the zoos here in the States, where we have a, you know, a standardized, you know, list of things that we want to do with our elephants to make sure that they stay healthy and the handlers stay, you know, educated and knowledgeable about their animals. So hopefully we'll work that out.
And at the end of the day, you learned how to walk alongside a giant bull without protective gear?
Yeah, that was probably my most, you know, incredible moment I can say on these camps. Was they have a bull that really kind of makes our bull look small, and they're just walking around with him, and, you know, come on, you know, we follow behind the elephants, or they stop and they come over and they want to do some interaction. And, you know, my first respond is to kind of back up a few steps and just, you know, give me some running room if needed. But they're just like, oh, no, come on up, you know, talk to Bob. He's a good boy, you know, you can get your picture with him. So, I mean, it was quite an experience.
That's great. Well, this has been an absolutely fascinating conversation, and I, you know, all I can say is that we wish you well, Willie, with all of the work
you're
doing with the elephants to prevent them from, you know, to lessen the instances of tuberculosis being transferred from humans to elephants, and obviously this will have a positive impact on the worldwide elephant population. And you're going back next week, correct?
Yes, yeah. I leave Monday to go back. There's three or four elephants they just don't want to seem to jump on board with this process. So they just want me to come over and finish this up, and then we'll send all the tests in, and then they can get them all together and evaluate all the elephants.
Sounds great. Willie Tyson is the elephant manager at the Pittsburgh Zoo and PPG Aquarium. Willie, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
Safe travels.
Thank you so much.
Coming up, how do toys from decades past reflect changes in American life? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.